Hi, listeners. We haven't put the podcast out on time this week because we first needed to address something that's really important. We had originally had a much longer episode planned for today. Earlier this week, we recorded an episode filled with festive cheer, including our favourite things about Christmas markets. However, in the light of the recent events on Friday the 20th of December, we feel that sharing these moments, as we originally planned to do today, is just not appropriate at this time. So out of respect for those who've been affected, we've made the decision to edit this week's episode and to remove those sections from it. As a result, this episode is shorter than usual, but we hope that you will understand why this feels necessary. We'd like to express our heartfelt condolences to everyone who's been impacted by this tragedy. Thank you, as always, for your kindness, understanding, and for being a part of our community.
Welcome to Decades From Home, a podcast about Germany. I'm Nick Houghton of 40%German.com and I'm joined by intrepid co-host Kat and our award-winning producer Simon Josie to discuss the weird and wonderful side of living in Germany. Hey Kat, hey Simon.
Hey Nick.
Hey Nick.
If your house is anything like mine, your furniture is slowly gathering a fine dusting of various cardboard delivery boxes as you prepare for Christmas. As everyone surely knows, since the pandemic, we've become far more accustomed to ordering everything online. And what seemed sort of necessary because of closed shops and the risk of infection now basically feels like the norm. The route of the packages can be hundreds and even thousands of kilometers long and can lead across highways or airports. And at the end, they end up in a depot or to be pre-sorted or sent on or end up in another parcel center. And from here, they go on to what is known as a delivery base. And these are huge warehouses, such as the one north of Leipzig, next to the Berliner Brücke. Not only has the infrastructure changed, but so has the rate of deliveries. Christmas has always been the traditional busy time of year. But with orders coming in all the time, even in the summer months, what used to be a quiet period for deliveries is now just as busy. And in addition, the number of deliveries means longer days, with some delivery drivers working from the early hours of the morning in December until the very late evening. I'm just wondering, folks, with all this deliveries and delivery drivers knocking about the streets, and surely you've noticed an exponential growth since 2020, have you spared much of a thought for your delivery drivers? Are you tipping them? Are you giving them gifts?
No.
Oh, I see. Is it my turn to have a go at you guys? Oh, you don't even care about your delivery drivers, giving you all your Christmas presents. Eee, dear
go
me.
Go on, do it. You missed your dig to have a go at me about still not having gone to a single Christmas market. So
yeah, no, I forgot to pull you up on that last week, but we'll save that for later maybe. But yeah, I mean, it's different. I mean, if you've got a crappy delivery person, our DHL guy's pretty sharp. So, and we've had the same one for a very long time. So we tend to get them something to say thank you. I was wondering though, like I've seen a lot of this certainly since the pandemic, but it's continued. A lot of videos online from America of people leaving like kind of gift baskets and stuff for delivery drivers with bottles of water and sweets and chewing gum and a sign saying like take what you need or something. Do you think that's something that is we should maybe adopt in Germany? Is that something that you think would be good if it caught on?
It's not really well designed for apartment blocks, is it?
Yeah.
How you could have something on your door. You could have a little basket with some Haribo in it.
I don't know. Like every apartment block I've known, there's pretty special rules about what you are and aren't allowed to keep in the hallways. And I think if you just started putting random stuff out there, you might get a bit of stress about it. But you have like a standalone house, right?
No, we're on a terrace.
What does that mean?
It means like they're all connected houses. So we've just got a long street of terraced houses as opposed to sort of detached, semi-detached houses.
You've got a doorway from the street.
Yeah,
into
exactly. Right. Yes. So yes, we do. Indeed. Yeah, I have that luxury. I have a door.
It was like terrace? Are you upstairs over a lake? I'm
on seventh floor terraced house. No. Yeah, so we have our own doorways and we could do it at ours if we wanted. And I think we probably could get away with it. I don't think we get any porch pirates stealing stuff off there. But I know you're right. Obviously, with apartments, it's a little bit trickier because people get upset if you leave your shoes outside, let alone if you left some Haribo for a delivery driver.
Exactly. Edible foods, that would be not very good.
There's going to be
not
rats.
Very appreciated.
Obviously, with the increase in deliveries and packages coming in at the moment to lots of different locations, what's the weirdest place you've had to pick up a parcel from? Have you had to pick up any parcels from weird locations?
One time I had to go pick up some chocolate and I went to the place where it was and he looked around and then looked back at the paper and then looked at another part of the shop and then looked at the paper again. And then I was like, it's not here. And I was like, oh, where is it? And then he's like, yeah, I don't know. You got to call DHL. So then I had to get on the phone to DHL. Oh. Do you know how hard it is to get somebody on the line?
Quite difficult.
And find out which store my package had been sent to.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I went all the way across two other suburbs to a different part of town. And there in front of me in the queue was my neighbor.
Gutted. Both of you just gutted. You could have carpooled.
Yeah, we could have done like, well, can you do a full marked or something? That somebody else picks up your post.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounded like somebody really screwed up there.
And just gave you the wrong address. That sucks. I mean, where we are, we've got the Raver does deliveries. The Edeka does a delivery. We've got news agents in the main street that take deliveries. But my favorite place to pick up deliveries is the vape shop. It's such a weird, like, I'm fairly sure every vape shop is a cover for some kind of mafia organization. It feels like they basically will do anything for money at this point.
Well, you're giving them money regularly, so.
Oh, no, I stopped buying from that vape shop. It was quite embarrassing when I had to go pick up a package because I was in there quite regularly for about a year and a half, and then I gave up because their opening hours were so inconsistent. You'd turn up and it wouldn't be open, so I just stopped and I started ordering stuff online. And then I turned up to pick up a package and the woman recognized me and gave me this look of like, oh, you're back, are you?
Like, she wasn't like, oh, it's so good that you gave up vaping.
No, because I was vaping as I walked in the shop.
No.
Gave the game away slightly there a bit. Yes. Oh, dear. But yeah, so aside from, I just say, I think it's funny that's the new norm is that everywhere is a shop or a bicycle shop, but also a delivery, a pack station for DHL or wherever.
Yeah, and sometimes it's really logical, but sometimes it's really random and inconvenient. Like there's one here in the suburb where I live, and it's like a big river right on the high street, shopping street. And it goes back all the way down into the block. It's a big one, yeah. And at the front, they have a little post shop. So there's nowhere to queue. It's always like you kind of got to go to this loop thing around the door. And then, yeah, it's just really the worst place to put something like that. For people to hang out in a doorway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it, but I do find it preferable. They do seem to be nicer than when I've gone to the actual post office. I find those places are a hive of some of the worst people in the universe. They're just so abrasive, like unnecessarily angry workers.
It's good if you can find like a little private one. There's still some, you know, mum and dad shops around.
Yeah.
Really sweet. Actually, I had to pick up a package this week and I went to pick it up at the post shop. And oh, there were problems having reading the number on the thing, and they were helping each other to figure out the number. I was like, you guys, to do this for every package, what the hell?
I suppose they've got a process, right? Follow that process.
They've got a process. They can spend a lot of time together, cooperation.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm glad that there still are because, you know, you can buy a box there and you don't feel stressed and they're not in a hurry either.
Yeah, the article I was reading was talking about how they use this term for these kind of small shops, these Tante Emma Laden. So like the Auntie Emma shop, basically. And it's the nickname given to these kind of small shops. Well, essentially news agents, really. And sometimes they might have some like fresh food on sale. But these have become like the center point for all deliveries now instead of the post office. Again, another development from the pandemic. But it's nice. I mean, I prefer to go to one of those, as you said, Kat, than some terrifying post office with angry post office workers. Probably legitimately angry post office workers, but still angry nonetheless.
But they can tell from their attitudes that they've paid way too much to bother with your packages.
Yeah, that's the sense. That's the sense. Also, I mean, we have the term, they don't really have this term per se in Germany, but the idea of the job's worth and the person who puts in far too much effort into their work is far too keen to follow the rules. And I found this with dealing with ID. I think Dilly mentioned this a few months ago, but like you turn up and no matter what ID you give them, it's unacceptable for them to say, here's my ID. Oh no, we don't accept Ausweis. You're like, oh God. Okay, what do you want? My fingerprints, my blood, retina scan, birth certificate? I don't know. But yeah, so luckily I avoid that most of the time. But yeah, like I've said, I've been to some odd places to pick up deliveries. But thankfully, nothing too strange has actually arrived at my home. My online shopping orders are rather prosaic, unless, of course, you consider Barbie's Malibu dream house to be weird. And I don't, but some people might. You might call me the best dad in the world, but I can't possibly comment. Have you guys had any weird deliveries recently? Perhaps one of you got some traditional Christmas penis pasta, as we discussed the other week. Just me then, no?
No, but I do have a weird delivery that I get regularly. Mm. And I started it during Corona. The year before COVID came, I'd been camping in the Eifel. And we went into a little regional supermarket and they had these 500, like half liter buckets of Bärlauch mustard. Mm. And so I thought, oh, yep, I'll take myself one of those. I think it was about €8 or something. But it was like half a liter of mustard. I'd never owned so much mustard in my life.
Half a liter of mustard.
And it's really delicious. It's quite strong. Like it's less the kind of mustard that you'd have but with sausages and more the kind of thing you put in dressings and stuff. We'll put with a good strong cheese. It's got the little round things in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I had this from the camping. And then in COVID, I mail ordered half a liter of mustard again. Mm-hmm. And then I've done that a second time. So, yeah.
Wow.
But it keeps quite well for about a year.
Really?
Mm.
I do like the idea of Bärlauch mustard. That sounds really tasty. What about you, Simon? What weird deliveries are you getting?
I don't think I've received anything weird.
I don't think I've got anything I'd like to admit at this point in time.
No, exactly.
I haven't received anything wrapped in brown paper.
It's always annoying when they wrap it in the black paper, and it's not that at all, but you get these black packages, hey, Simon?
Yeah, I mean, if I had received anything weird, I wouldn't be admitting on a bloody podcast that I'd received something weird, would I? Now,
you could just tell them about the stuff you were talking about off mic there, Simon. That's what you could talk about.
That is the saddest effort to fabricate something. That's pathetic.
Yeah, well, it's a contentious episode, isn't it? Given the amount of deliveries being made at the moment, there's surely a lot of weird products flying around in various delivery trucks. And this is perhaps why DHL decided to release their list of the strangest deliveries made in 2024, some of which don't even involve desirable plastic real estate or sex organs shaped from Italy's favourite foodstuff. Most surprising on the list is the amount of animals that have been shipped around by Germany's favourite delivery company. In August, DHL transported Chocolat, a partially paralysed chimpanzee from Kenya to the UK, having survived the illegal bushmeat trade in the Republic of Congo and rescued as an infant. Chocolat was taken to a sanctuary in Dorset in the south of England. Not satisfied with just helping one animal, DHL says it organised the largest vulture relocation of all time. That is a statement and a half.
That sounds so chaotic.
It does indeed. In January, 163 cape and white-backed vultures, which are threatened with extinction, were relocated from a reserve in Pretoria, the capital of South Africa, to a game reserve in the Eastern Cape. Two 34-ton trucks and five escort and security vehicles were used for the journey of more than 1,000 kilometres. So, okay, which of those trips would you have taken? Who makes the better travel companion? A paralysed chimpanzee or 163 vultures? I feel like the vultures might be more like travelling long distance with my 4-year-old screaming from the back seat. So I personally would choose the chimpanzee. I don't know what anyone else is thinking. What do you think? But that plane stank so bad after 163 vultures were in it.
I don't think they just put them in a
just hanging
plane,
out.
Right. I think they have like cages and stuff, and maybe they're even tranquilized while they travel. But I think I'd take 163 tranquilized vultures.
Only if they're tranquilized.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the idea that they're not, and they're just, it's chaos.
What about when you need to get up and go to use the bathroom on the plane? It's going to be a fucking nightmare.
Just getting screamed at as you're walking past.
Why couldn't they fly there themselves?
Producer Simon makes a good point. They should probably have flown there themselves. Lazy bastards.
Yeah.
How dare they hitch a lift on a DHL delivery flight?
Was it a flight or a track? I thought it was a track.
I have to go back and...
2 34-ton trucks. It's all facts and figures again, Nick.
It's been a long day, you know. I mean, what can I say? I just had this image. I think I was just stuck on the idea of the chimpanzee being flown over. I like the idea of flying vultures on a delivery plane. It seems much more exciting than a truck. Boo-hoo.
Do you wonder, though, that poor chimpanzees obviously probably lived in a sort of a tropical climate going to, where was it, Dorset. Or something?
Dorset.
I mean, it's one of the warmest parts of the UK, I'll have you know. There's palm trees down there.
It's all relative, isn't it?
Enough said.
It's just like the Democratic Republic of Congo, I'm sure. It's not just animals that DHL seem uniquely qualified to deliver either. In September, the London Philharmonic Orchestra toured Japan, and their 60 instruments had to travel 9,500 kilometers from Great Britain to the Hamamatsu Act City Concert Hall in Japan. The instruments were transported by air and land.
Can I ask, did they take the violins and the double basses by land and like the clarinets and flutes and stuff and trumpets by air? That would be cool.
Because some of them are wind instruments. Is that the point?
Yeah, wind instruments go on the airplane.
Logically,
of course. The rest go on the truck.
I mean, in fairness, I think if you get into Japan, at some point you're going to have to fly, unless you've got a boat.
I guess if you've got a flute, it's just hand luggage, right? Carry on.
I assume so. I guess, though, it might be an insurance thing if they're insuring all 60 instruments. But I guess the guy with the double bass is really happy that he didn't have to carry it through the airport. According to DHL, special attention had to be paid to the temperature in the transport boxes so that the wooden instruments did not warp or crack. I mean, that seems very... I'd be very nervous handing over essentially my livelihood to a DHL delivery driver. They're pretty good and probably the best of all the delivery companies we have available to us. But I mean, how confident would you be sending your priceless Stradivarius via airmail? I'm not sure I'd be able to sleep personally.
I have never had a priceless Stradivarius.
No, really? I thought everyone had one.
It's 60 instruments is a lot. I bet it would be fun to pack because, you know, you'd have to stack them in all around each other like a kind of Tetris thing. And figure out the most stable way so they don't all collapse. It sounds like a fucking mobile app. I'm going to make $1 million.
Yeah, it's a good system. Finally, we're going to make some money out of this podcast.
Tetris instruments. But yeah, I understand that the bit of temperature thing because, you know, if you have a guitar and it gets warmer, it definitely changes, or colder.
Yeah, I mean, if you're dealing with wooden instruments, that any change, any adjustment's going to mess with the sound. But I still wouldn't feel confident handing it over, especially if it was the difference between being a part of the Philharmonic Orchestra and not. I think I'd rather take it with me in me hand luggage.
Or maybe that's just the price you have to pay if you're in the London Philharmonic. You've got to roll the punches.
That brings us to the end of the show. If you're enjoying the podcast, why not give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, which only takes a minute and can really help us. You can also rate us on Spotify, so chuck some stars our way there as well. Retweet us, share a link, or post with the hashtag #DecadesForHome or locate on Twitter. As ever, if you have any questions, feedback, or maybe an article or topic you'd like us to cover, you can tweet Dillion @DillinieAlgamer, and you can tweet Kat @DBishDimmerin, and you can tweet me @40%German. You can also get the podcast on Instagram @DecadesFromHome, where you can say hello to Kat, who is our moderator for that particular social media platform. You can also get us on decadesfromhome@gmail.com. If you have time, take a look at 40%german.com. Weekly articles are up every Saturday. All that's left to say is thanks and bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss!
Tschüss!
Tschüss.